Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is
Bracket.
our Thursday evening.
Bracket.
Are you
Bracket.
ribbiting there? Are you a
Bracket.
frog now? Oh, bracket, he's
Bracket.
saying.
Bracket.
Okay.
Bracket.
This is our Thursday evening bracket rundown
Woohoo!
show. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by John Tytel to my side, Joby Fortson below me. Diagonally across is the puppet David Griggs, who's very excited about the show, apparently. This is the show where we kind of do two out of the three steps that the actual NCAA tournament selection committee does, but then we do it in a totally different way than when they actually do it.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, we create a bracket. If you look below us right now, you will see the finished product of what we're going to be doing tonight. If you looked at it in depth already, you ruined it. You completely ruined the show. Don't do
Think
that
Joby
again.
just left. He's just bored already.
I'll
Joby's
try to
gone. Oh, there he is. Okay,
I'll try to get
yeah.
Joby back. But basically, the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee does have a three-step process. They first select the 32 at-large bids. They then add, I'm sorry, the 36 at-large bids. They then add them to the 32 automatic bids and take those 68 teams, create a seed list 1 through 68. And the final step is they put them into an actual bracket. What we're going to do is those first two steps, both selecting the teams and seeding them, kind of together as one. After which, after we're off the air, we're going to go ahead and get it bracketed up, and that's what you're seeing down below us again, if you're cheating.
Yeah, so what the committee does in 5 days, we're going to do hopefully here in about 45 minutes. That's how good we are.
And this is the seed list we're going to be using tonight here. It is a blank list of 1 through 68. You can see they're also broken down by the seed numbers. I have four teams per seed line. As we fill teams in, you're going to see various metrics show up, including the NCAA's official net rating, Joby, your J&G rating, which is up there on top of the screen, KenPom ratings, strength of schedule, OAR, a little rating that we developed here. It's basically an average of all of the metrics, major metrics from the net to the KenPom and about five or six others, including the J&G in there as well. We'll debate the teams, we'll look at team sheets, we'll try to reach a consensus. If there's no consensus, I'm going to serve as the tiebreaker tonight. I think that
Well,
covers
no,
what we're going to do. Did I get the
I can
rules
break the
then?
tie. I can break the tie.
No, you can't.
What?
So I guess without further ado, Joby, why don't I start with you here, and why don't you
How
tell me
convenient to go first.
who the top four teams of the nation are? Especially on the one and two line, the order does matter a bit in terms of which locations you go to. So in order here, what are the top four teams? Top four teams of the nation right now.
All right. Well. All right. Despite the losses in the last week, Baylor is still my number one
Excellent choice.
overall
Yes.
choice. Auburn,
Ooh.
has shown what they can do over the last few days. Auburn, I think it's a clear cut number two. It gets tougher then. Tytel, in deference to you, I think you're Wildcats. I'll go with your Wildcats for number three as the best team out of the Pac-12 right now that I see. And this is going to be the real head scratcher. This is the one, but I thought long and hard. I'm even going against the J&G on this, so don't think I'm doing that. The team that won tonight,
Yes.
I am actually going to go with the Badgers. I look
I
at that
love
resume and
yeah.
I'm there.
Oh my
I'm there.
God.
After tonight beating Ohio State, I'm there.
I'll say
Okay.
I'm there with you. One second. Just want to quickly note that we are recording this around 9:30 p.m. here on January 13th. That means any games that go final after 9:30 p.m. are not considered in these rankings. Obviously, Arizona, who we just mentioned, is going to be playing later on tonight, I believe. They're hosting Colorado. Oregon, UCLA coming up, Indiana, Iowa going on, BYU, Gonzaga tonight. Those games are not factored in here. But go ahead, Griggs, you had a comment
Well, I
on.
was going to say I had Wisconsin 7 overall, which would have made them my third number two, and I thought I was going to have to fight you guys like hell to get them that high. I can't believe you like them that much, but I mean, I'm kind of glad you do. I actually agree with Auburn. I have them on the one line, and I thought I'd have to fight to get them up here. They're my fourth number one, but the two teams, and despite the loss, I know that they have the loss to Miami. I still love the top of Duke's profile. And what about Kansas? I just kind of want to look at them because I didn't think I'd have them up here when the process started. Not that I didn't really, really like them, but I actually had Kansas as my number two overall.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a couple of those teams in order here. Tytel, let me start with you. Wisconsin, who just won, had that big win over home win over Ohio State tonight, up there on the left, and a monster collection of tier one wins now, which I kind of like Joey's pick. I got Duke there on the right that David mentioned as well. Do you think either one of these teams belong on the one line right now?
Certainly meritorious. I don't know if you'll see a better upper left corner of anybody's team sheet than the Badgers. And Duke, obviously, the Miami loss is looking a lot more respectable a week later now that we look at Miami's resume and their standing in the ACC despite their close loss the other night in Tallahassee. I'm still leaning towards the Zags. I mean, losing to Duke, I understand if you want to put Duke ahead of them because of that. And a single-digit loss to Alabama away from home is not anything to lose sleep about. But beating UCLA by 20 and Texas Tech by 14 are looking great right now.
I had Gonzaga 5 overall, so I don't think it's outrageous to put them up there. But there's Kansas. And what I like the most here is Michigan State away from home. I just think that that is a phenomenal win. And Iowa State also very, very good. I mean, I know that they barely won the game, but I just like that profile an awful lot. The loss of Texas Tech, I had Texas Tech very high in on my seed list. So it's certainly not a loss that I would ding them for. The one head scratcher is Dayton. If you want to, if there is a little bit of one seed caliber poison on here, it's that. But I just love how this Texas team is playing, or Kansas team is playing. I'm sorry.
And I thought very hard about Kansas, but it was that, you know, a loss to Providence, who I think will be very high on this bracket as your tier two loss versus
Kansas Dayton, did?
clinging to a tier two. I mean, 97 net, you know, or 94 net, you know, it's not going to take much. It's not going to take the mercurial Dayton to be have a 100 in front of that real quick to kick it to tier three.
And I get it.
Providence, if you look at, you know, yeah, they're, I think, 33rd in the net or so. I mean, they're almost, you know, come on. Yeah, and they were under, as Titel has pointed out in prior one, they were undermanned. In that Providence team. So it's a good Providence team, a very good Providence.
Yeah, categorically speaking, one seeds do not lose, well, really to anybody, but they don't lose to teams outside the bubble, which Dayton clearly is. But it has, I mean, sometimes I think you can offset a loss like that. And it's not like they lost to like a sub 200 team or something when you have wins as good as what Kansas has.
And I'll put at Purdue. We're going to be talking Purdue in a line or two. So
I really want to stress Joby's pick here of Wisconsin. You two losses. The Providence loss was without Johnny Davis, one of the best players in the entire nation. And I think that's way better than Kansas. I think it's better than Duke. I think it's better than Zags. I think they belong up here.
It pains me to say this. I concur on Whiskey. I do.
Well, Titel, what about Arizona? Do they belong here? Because I'm hearing maybe two to three people liking Baylor, Arizona, Baylor, Auburn, and Wisconsin up here. But what about Arizona?
Yeah, I mean, winning at Illinois is a solid tier one win. Michigan is looking like a tier three win, sadly, at this point. And beating up on the Pac-12 outside of the two big boys are not so impressive. So I understand if you don't want to reward them. Obviously, losing at Tennessee by single digits is very respectable. So I think they have a good case, but I can't say that they're head and shoulders stronger than several of the other teams we mentioned.
And the team you would go with is the Zags, I assume.
Yes, but not strong enough to pull out the veto. I think that we've got a lot of good teams for a lot of good reasons up here.
Well, I guess we got to make some type of decision here. Griggs, if we go Baylor, Auburn, Wisconsin, is it Arizona, Gonzaga? I personally think that both those profiles are a little bit better than Duke or Kansas right now. And again, you got to look with Kansas. You got to look right now, and they have a bad loss.
Well, one bad loss will not be as bad two months from now. Yeah, to me, the push between Gonzaga and Duke is that Duke beat them. I mean, that's really sort of like what puts Duke ahead of them a little bit, even though Duke did lose at home to Miami, which Gonzaga does not have a loss anywhere like that. I still like Kansas more than both of them.
Maybe we should just go Michigan State.
I got them.
Michigan State is certainly a team to look at very seriously, you know, for a lot of the same reasons Wisconsin and their conference may. But Michigan State did lose to Kansas, as Greg points out. I know you can't do transitive property on everything, but you know, it is a reasonable point. You know, the whole Duke, Kansas, circle that is created. That might be one of the reasons Arizona would their only a loss at Tennessee, which is nothing to be disappointed about. That's in a way one of the reasons why maybe Arizona does still make the most sense.
And it sounds to me like Arizona's the only team that isn't being knocked out by these transitive properties, and maybe they end up being the default team.
Exactly.
I like to say to take that fourth one seed. I'm actually a little bit surprised by that. I did not think Arizona.
I am too. I did not have them. Who? So if no one had Arizona on the one line, how'd they get on the one line?
I had them on the one line.
You had them on the one line. Tatai, did you have them on the one line?
And Tytel doesn't want to veto them off, so they're going to end up on our one line. How about that? Congrats to the Wildcats.
So because Joby had them as their fourth one, they're up here, even though none of us did. I just love the selection.
Tytel, why don't you give us – we've got four teams that we've discussed here. Are these your 4-2 seeds, or is it somebody else?
I got Kansas. I got Gonzaga. I got Duke. You can certainly make a strong case for the Spartans. You can certainly make a strong case for the one loss Bruins, but I got to tell you, like, LSU just keeps rolling through the SEC.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love that pick. And Joby, I think that you do as well from what I just heard.
No.
Yeah. I had LSU on my 2-1. So yes, I agree with Tytel.
He got three of them correct. Pull up Texas Tech.
You're not going to have a hard time convincing me on the 3 line. I don't know that you're going to convince me on the 2 line, but go ahead, Greg.
I just want to recall, if you go back to last week, how in love with Texas Tech I was. I mean, I was just all over them. I wasn't. But at Baylor, Kansas at home, and versus Tennessee on a neutral floor who beat Arizona, that tops out. That just blows everything else away.
Right, but you do have 3 losses versus 1 loss. You do have better metrics on the right side, both predictive and resume based.
It's a deeper resume for LSU as well. You know, it's just
if you want to combine tiers 1 and 2, you've got 8 wins versus 4 wins.
Yes.
Texas Tech did a lot of sub 300 wins.
Yes, as I pointed out last week when you started to buzz me all the time. But that was they beat Kansas and Baylor. But
Chad, Auburn's such an awful team. It's an awful loss. You know, it's an absolute. Oh, wait a minute. They're number 2 overall in Orange.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't gotten Iowa State or Providence in yet. And they are losses.
I mean,
they're going to be in soon.
Not bad losses.
Tytel, would you go with Griggs and take Texas Tech, or actually this was your line? So Joby, you would stick. You go with that Tytel's line here.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's. I might mix up the order, like we've said before. Duke over Gonzaga. There's that transitive property thing happening.
That's fair.
But it's a great. I'm in concurrence. Good line.
Yeah. I think it's fair to change the order a little bit on the 2 lines still, because that does, as you go further down the seed list, the order within a seed line becomes less important. It's still somewhat important in terms of who you're matching up with. But Griggs, I'll let you have this next line. I know you like Texas Tech on the top of it.
Yes, I do.
Three more teams beyond them.
After that, it starts to go down for me a little bit. I almost think that I made a mistake here in my note keeping. So if someone is grossly omitted, that's why
we have Michigan State still under consideration.
Yes. The teams that I have in this line are UCLA, Nova, and Michigan State. Oh. I really like Sparty.
I actually like Sparty a lot better than 3 line even, but I'm not going to win that argument. I'm not going to make it. But Tytel, what do you think of Texas Tech, UCLA, Nova, and Sparty?
It's actually pretty solid. Just a quick word on Texas Tech. I don't know if I've ever seen a team make such a leap in literally like 4 days. I mean, obviously not a lot of teams beat Kansas and Baylor back to back, but just like rocketing up the seed list from, I'd say, like a 7-ish to like a strong 2 and maybe a 3 is just unbelievable. As far as the others, I think they all look solid. I would throw Purdue in the mix because when your only losses are to Wisconsin, and I forget, there was some gym in New Jersey they lost at, Chad.
That was called the Rack.
Thank you.
And it the was, Rack. I don't think Purdue's looked very good on the court the last couple of weeks. And it's more of an eye test thing for me that I don't know that Purdue – I think Purdue probably should – most likely is going to be showing up on the next line here in the 4. There's a chance they can drop to the 5. I think the 3 is a little too high for them at this point, personally. Joby, do you think we should have Purdue or somebody else up here?
Yeah, I actually – sorry, transitive property. Who did Villanova lose to? Oh, yeah, Purdue.
That's a stretch for me. I don't know, but
I'd actually make. Well, Villanova has 4 losses. Purdue has 2. You know, I have the Boilers, but it's not a blow. I mean, Villanova would be my next team, so it's
I'll tell you, I like neutral Tennessee at Xavier at Seton Hall. Xavier again, better than Nova neutral, North Carolina neutral. I like the way Villanova's profile in Griggs' term tops out, and Purdue has a worse loss than Nova does.
Yeah, and like at Baylor is not that's just an unwinnable game for anybody except Texas Tech, who has all those 300 losses. But that is just those losses are just insane. Like to the point to where there's 4 of them, but. Like, there's probably not 5 teams in the country that wouldn't have lost at least some of those.
Yeah. And in fact, the other team, I think, maybe discussion, should we be talking Providence at this point or very close to it? They only have 2 losses.
They do. I like this Providence profile a lot, Chad. One of the things, and I realize that this may not be fair, is that there's some asterisk on that. Wisconsin in particular,
the UConn win was without Sonogo also. So, I get that,
but that is an outstanding profile.
I'll tell you what, Joby, why don't I go to you for the next line here? We do have Purdue and Providence who did not quite make it in, but I don't think I've heard enough argument with the 4 teams to make a change.
And let's include those 2 to start. As a matter of fact, I feel reasonable in saying Iowa State here.
Good selection. Great selection.
But the fourth one here, it's basically who with a really good record do you trust more? And it's it's USC and Houston. And
I hate them both.
You're not going Roll Tide?
I'm not going Roll Tide. Lost last night at home. I know it was Auburn, but, you know, they haven't looked. They've been hit or miss. And the Iona loss, we'll see how the Iona loss carries forward. You know, it does mean something for Iona. I think they're at large worthy, but they're racking up too many of these for my comfort right now. USC only sits with that one loss. It is to Stanford, but but I think I'll go USC, though. Houston makes me think too.
Yeah, to Titel, what about putting USC in? When they're undefeated, there was a great case for them. Now that they have a loss, I think you have to start smelling that profile a little bit, don't you?
Yeah,
but I think that this is right around. I had them at a 4. The wins, to be honest, are not blowing me away. And the loss was close and on the road. I get it. I was going to go with Houston as well, just because when your 2 losses are to Wisconsin and Alabama away from home, by a combined 3 points, like that's near perfection. And talk about like being sustainable. I thought they were going to like fold like a cheap suit after losing Tremont Mark and Marcus Sasser. And all they do is go out and like blow away, granted, like average American teams, but they're blowing people away by double digits. I'm really impressed by the Cougars. Alabama, a week ago, I would have had them here, if not higher. But like Joby said, although it's one thing to lose at Auburn or to Auburn by 4, when you're losing to a sub 500 Missouri team, even on the road, that's borderline inexcusable.
Yes.
Griggs, the problem I have with both these profiles, and probably your problem as well, I'm looking for wins over tournament caliber teams. I see 1 on USC in a 8, 9, 10 type of seed San Diego State team.
Yes.
And none on Houston. So isn't that a problem with the protection seat? Don't you have to beat a tournament caliber team?
Yeah, it is with me. And a team I want to throw out there, and I realize that this is a little bit earlier than where you have them. What about Illinois?
Okay. If we could pull them up. I want to pull up Illinois. And why don't we pull up Ohio State also while we're talking Big Ten? Okay. Despite the loss tonight, I don't think you write the Buckeyes off either. They did beat Duke and Wisconsin and Seton Hall.
Right. To me, like, Illinois has two really good true road wins. The loss to the loss to Cincinnati was sort of, I mean, that one smells really bad, but part of this is recency biased. I just think Illinois has been playing really, really well lately. And if we don't have them up on the protected seed line this week, I bet in a week or two we do.
Well, I guess my beef with all that would be Iowa and Minnesota are not really good teams. They're bubblish, bubblish, good side of the bubble, maybe.
They were on the road, and that's why Greg's liking them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You beat a tournament team on the road. That's good. But by the same token, I do defer to you when you mention Ohio State. I don't care if it's at home. You beat Duke. You beat Wisconsin. Where do we have them on their list? Oh, yeah, 1 and 2 line. If you be a 1 seed or a 2 seed, wherever it is, kudos to you. You deserve credit.
Well, Tytel, what do you think? Should we be sticking with USC? Should we go in Alabama, Houston? Who did we just mention here? Illinois, Ohio State?
I guess based on the discussion, even though I was leaning Houston, I guess I would go with the Buckeyes, even with the loss, just because the strength of schedule is ridiculous.
And that's why I keep looking at with this Buckeyes team. They do have 2 true road wins and a neutral court win, Griggs. And granted, they're not only the Seton Hall win is a tournament caliber win, but
yeah, but okay. If Tim Miles were still at Nebraska, I would be on board. But
okay, we're putting up for that. We're putting Ohio State in here. I said no one had any problems with Iowa State or with Iowa State here. We didn't discuss
that. No, I love that. I really like this team and the profile. So,
let's see. We're up to the 5 line. Tytel, that would be you here. Who we do have 4 teams under consideration, but you can go with any 4 teams you like.
I would also throw Xavier and Tennessee under consideration. And to be honest, they're all starting. This group, I think, runs together for me. As you can see, the metrics are pretty similar. I would put Bama in here because they have the hardest strength of schedule in the nation. I would put Tennessee because the metrics are all fantastic. I would put Houston because I like them. And for the other three, let's not put USC and ding them for the loss. Between Illinois and Xavier, since Arizona beat Illinois, I'll selfishly go with them. But I think Xavier with top 20 metrics for all 5 is certainly worthy as well.
Okay, so you go Alabama, Tennessee, Houston, and Illinois. Joby, what do you think about that?
I was USC last line, so obviously I would like to see USC finally land. But I can't really disagree for the most part with the reasoning behind a lot of what Tytel said, because these are the teams that should be discussed as the 5. At the 5, knocking on the door. We'll see if they can climb their way to a protected seat.
Yeah. David, one team there that is another not team. To discuss, but they lost very badly tonight. Is that the team you're going with? I'm talking Seton Hall?
No, but same conference. I like UConn.
Okay. That's okay. Let's pull Seton Hall and UConn both up here. Seton Hall, I think,
but UConn has no discussion. Good wins, David. None. No good ones.
and Seton Hall beat UConn head to head.
I'd say that in jest, as it might be one of the best wins of the year.
Yeah, you've got the Auburn and Marquette wins there on the UConn side. You've got the Seton Hall. You've got beating UConn head to head, plus the Texas win and the very powerful Texas, Wagner win.
They did beat UConn head to head, but I'm not enamored with either Texas or Michigan.
Okay, so you would go UConn over who though from this list of 4. Bama, Tennessee, okay. Houston, Illinois.
Illinois is already in our bracket, just as a note.
Probably Houston, and the reason is it's that they just don't top out nearly as high as everybody else. I like the Houston team. I certainly wouldn't throw a fit if it wasn't them, but like when you look at it, it'll populate here in a second. Tytel makes some really good points, and like they've continued to look good on the court, But, you know, their best true road win is at Temple. That's not as good as winning at Marquette. They've got neutral floor wins against Oklahoma State, and the game against Oregon was super impressive at the time. But, you know, Oregon barely beat Oregon State the other night. They're just not that good. To me, the difference is where UConn tops out versus where Houston tops out.
I'll tell you what, Tytel, one of the cases I think they make for Houston is we look at this green box here with the predictive metrics. The BPI has them as the number one team in the nation. The KenPom, number three in the nation. And then and the net, which does have some predictive elements to it, has them up number four. Should we keep dropping the team with that type of metrics despite no tier one wins?
Yes, because the predictive metrics are wrong. You cannot lose two of your best players and have sustained excellence. They've done it for three games. They can't do it for 15 more games, Chad. It's impossible.
Well, other than the game at UCF, well, I don't know where a potential loss is right now with that schedule.
I think that's what Tytel's pointing out, though, is if they start, you know, sleepwalking at Tulsa, you know, in their next game, and they beat Tulsa by two, they might still retain that strong record, but their predictive metrics will be hit side the head with a board. And so the fact is, will those predictive metrics come back? Tytel is making the argument, I think, John, that give it time, things will equal themselves out.
Although they do have the built-in excuse with the injuries, but yes, I agree with Joby.
So who would you put instead of Houston then? Would you go with David's UConn pick?
Me? I would go Xavier.
You go Xavier. Let's take a quick look at Xavier. We have not looked at them much here. And Joe, do you want to defend Houston over Xavier, or do you?
I don't know. Because you know, we're starting to get to where we're splitting hairs a little bit. I'm going to pivot. Neutral court win over Auburn says a lot to me. And the more I think about it, I'm going to go with Griggs. I know that's crazy, Chad, but I'm
going to go UConn. Griggs. So you're going to take
UConn. I know one win shouldn't make an entire deal, but But it's not like that's – they also do have, like Xavier, they have a win over Marquette. So it's not completely without, you know, depth.
All right, so we'll put UConn in.
They beat the Bonnies and VCU. I know those are probably NIT teams, but they're high NIT teams, you know, for what it's worth.
All right, Griggs.
We're going to exercise some common sense here. I'm not pulling anyone out that hasn't been pulled out. I've got Houston, Xavier, USC, Hall.
All right, so you're saying that's it. Let's just put our whole under consideration.
I didn't realize it, but yes, the under consider. Now I feel cheated. No. I have West Virginia, Loyola, BYU, and Colorado State.
No, it's too late. Houston, Xavier, USC, Seton Hall. Is that right, Tytel? Did we just kind of hit a line here after the sixth line? These are the teams, and there's a little bit drop when we go from six to seven.
I mean, I know some of you are in love with Loyola. I think that we can live with them at seven or eight rather than six. I would consider teams like Texas. I would consider teams like...
I hate Texas.
Kentucky, but no, I don't have a huge problem with the six. I would go no veto.
Okay, Loyola, we'll mention Kentucky and Texas under consideration here, but I think we can move pretty quickly past this sixth line here. We've discussed all these teams already. And let me see here. Joby,
So I don't get to discuss all these teams? You're just moving on to someone else now.
Griggs, we said you were right. Griggs, we said you were right. We've never done that before.
I didn't get to share my wisdom as to why I was right.
Joby, give me four teams for the seven line. Tytel mentioned a few, but you don't have to go with them.
We have two of the ones I like. John's right. Some of us do like Loyola Chicago. I will start off with that. And I do like the Kentucky call. Kentucky, I think, starting to hit a stride here. I think we're starting to look like the Kentucky we all know. And it makes sense. This is not a COVID year in the prep running up to it. Calipari's getting his defense more together. I always think that's the key to his teams. I think Kentucky is – you know, is one of those with a bullet. I'm going to stick with Colorado State here. And I know, you know, that, you know, they finally got Pierce with a loss, but good win last night. I know it's home, but you know, you know, good win in that regard. And then off the beaten path, but for some reason, Huggy Bear, I always seem to overrate fall in love with those teams, but I am a West Virginia guy.
Three of those teams are excellent.
Let's start with the team that, Griggs, I think you think is not excellent. Let's take a look, a little in-depth look at this Kentucky profile here.
Yes.
Because I hate agreeing with Griggs.
So far down the seed list.
I hate agreeing with Griggs, but I also had Kentucky so far down the seed list, and they've beaten one tournament caliber team. Well, Ohio U is a nice win, but it's a home. One tournament caliber team away from home, North Carolina, and North Carolina is barely a tournament caliber team. And Tytel, is there a defense for Kentucky's profile? Because I'm looking for something to like it, and I'm having trouble finding it.
Defenses, I think Carolina is a turning team, and when you destroy them by almost 30 at a neutral site, that does carry some weight. I think when your three losses are all tier one, and especially they're all single digits, that carries some weight. I agree, the strength of schedule is borderline inexcusable, but as you can see on the left there, they have a bunch of games left against top 25, if not top 100 teams. So it's only going to go up from here.
I agree with you. I agree it's going to go up, but you say North Carolina is a tournament caliber team. So I say, okay, who did North Carolina beat that's in the field? And there's Carolina on the right. We're not at them yet, but where is their tournament win?
I don't want to say that I didn't
Virginia
have
Kentucky. Virginia will be in the National Invitational Tournament.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, Joey.
Okay, I had Kentucky in the field, but as far as putting them right here, this is a stat for you that should jump out for you. Their record in non-bye games is 2-4. I cannot put a team in the top half of the bracket with that like on their profile.
Well, Grace, where would you go? Would you go to the team I just pulled up here, BYU?
Yeah. I think Chad's got screen share on it. He can see my seed list over here. I like the Cougars quite a bit.
And Joby, what about that? Should BYU actually be on your line then?
Well, BYU came out, it's sort of similar to what we were discussing earlier with, oh, that Oregon win looked really good. Well, you know, I need to see more from BYU. And luckily for BYU, this is not a normal year for the West Coast Conference. They're going to be able to give it to us and not have to win in Spokane to do it. which happens tonight. I'd like to see a little more out of BYU. And it's funny because I'm going a lot of eye tests with Kentucky, you know, in my reasoning. I don't like the eye tests I've been seeing lately from BYU. And so that's just, you know, that's one person's opinion.
Well, Tytel, first of all, Loyola, Chicago, Colorado State, West Virginia, are you okay with those three here? We didn't really discuss them. Okay. Do you think Kentucky is here? Would you go BYU? Would you go Texas? Would you go somewhere else, say Creighton or something?
Since I hear the vetoes at the ready for the latter two, I don't mind BYU. They all have top 32 metrics across the board. I think they're going to get blown out by the Zags, but again, who hasn't been?
I think that's a bit of a fair compromise here, is going with BYU. I would not have vetoed Kentucky if all three of you wanted them, but I hate agreeing with Griggs, but we do have Kentucky and Texas as carryovers. And Tytel, we're up to you for the next four teams.
We got Huggy Bear in. I think that I want to say the Indiana-Iowa winner tonight. Obviously, we're only at halftime, so I can't pick it. I guess I'll put both of them under consideration because they're both – it's a single-digit game at halftime, I think. I would have put Oklahoma up here. I think they stubbed their toe the other night. I think we're starting to get into not hold your nose territory because these teams have some meat on the bone. But Creighton, I didn't think of them. Okay.
Creighton's good. Yeah,
I like that. I just mentioned them earlier, so that's why I threw them up there. But we've got now six teams under consideration. So go wherever you like.
If I have to pick four, I love the Big Ten, so I'll do Indiana and Iowa. And I have Texas and Kentucky just ahead of the other two, so I'll go with Texas and Kentucky, but I won't lose sleep if they get vetoed.
Okay. Griggs, let me start with you. I know you don't like Kentucky. We've already had that debate. What about the other three? Let me ask about the other
Indiana, three. I like how they've played the last week or so, but I don't like that at the time we're recording this, they do not have a road win at all, a true road win. Now, they are leading Iowa at halftime, And to be fair, if they were to beat Iowa, it would completely, I think one is infinitely more than zero. But the 0-3 in true road games bugs me. The one game, only winning one game away from home kind of bugs me too. I have Indiana way down the list because for me personally, that's just a disqualifier.
Well, and if Iowa doesn't pull this game off tonight, please put them against North Carolina because they both have the same NIT win. And that's it. It's, you know, Iowa's resume is not really that tremendous at the end of the day. I mean, I think they're a tournament team, but I do not believe they are this hot.
But I had four different teams entirely. I had Marquette, who, again, I liked better than everyone else last week. Creighton, who you mentioned, Oklahoma, and the Dons.
San Francisco. Okay, so we'll throw San Francisco up there as well. Interested, we have not mentioned the team that beat Colorado State, who's already in the field. What about San Diego State around here, too?
I had them on the next line, but I like them a lot.
Okay, well, Joby, what are we going to do with this line?
You know what? I'm glad that Marquette was mentioned because the thing we, and I was one of those, didn't like about Marquette was the overall record. You need to get above more than two above 500. Since then, they've been going out and they've been winning games and, you know, showing that, hey, we are going to have a better overall record. That it's not been their wins that have been the issue. It's not been necessarily even the losses. It's been the fact that overall you got to win more than you lose by more than just one or two. And so now that they've done that, now since our last discussion, they have done that. I am all on the Marquette train for this line.
Okay, who are you pulling down? The Big Ten teams?
Iowa, as I said, Iowa's going to be in the field. But no way should they be wearing white with that resume. Okay. Zero chance.
So if we go with Marquette over Iowa for now.
Even with a win tonight, that will give them one win over a tournament team at home. And so, let's give him the win tonight. I still wouldn't have him on this line.
What impresses everybody with about Texas so much? I mean, it seems like everybody but me, not just on Hoops HD, but in general, is big on Texas. I love their coach. I think they got a talented team.
They beat Oklahoma this week. They beat the West Virginia team that I mentioned on the last line.
And they've no bad, no bad losses. They're a
solid team. They scream 8-9 to me.
They really beat K-State and Tech and Stanford away from home. That's and they won a bunch of bye games.
No, but Oklahoma and West Virginia are tournament teams. One's already in our field. One will be in the field in a line or two. So they're 8-9. They're an 8-9 team.
Given how close 8-9 seeds are anyhow, I think let's stick with these four and just kind of go on here and pick our nine seeds. Griggs, I will let you pick the 4-9 seeds below Indiana, Marquette, Texas, Kentucky. I know you don't like them.
Oh, we have. But, okay, we did put Marquette in. Okay.
Yes, Marquette we are putting in here, but there are five teams we've mentioned that which are on the under consideration. I think there's one or two teams that we have not yet mentioned that should be in here, including a team with one of the best road wins in the nation.
Yes. I don't have them on this line quite yet, but I do have them in. I have Oklahoma up here.
Tallahassee.
I kind of think I got Creighton, who's under consideration. San Francisco, who I named earlier, and the team that I like just one spot more than that San Diego State team who you like. I have Davidson at number 36.
That was going to be the next team I was going to mention, in fact. I think that's a – I personally like – I kind of like what you just did here, even if San Diego State's not quite in yet. But, Tytel, what do you think of what Griggs just did with Oklahoma, Creighton, San Francisco, Davidson?
I think I still like the Aztecs somewhere in here because they beat a previously undefeated team. But since it infuriates David when we actually agree with him and don't give him a chance to explain it, I like the idea of infuriating the man.
So who would you pull out?
Davidson.
All right, let's kind of compare that here, Joby. Davidson versus San
I had them 36 State. And 37. I had them both.
And I'm Tytel, and it is close. I do. I like the Aztecs more. It's not just the Colorado State. When they also went over St. Mary's, which we remember when that game came down, we said the Mountain West was at stake for that game because they might not have many chances, whereas the West Coast is doing a lot more thanks to Gonzaga, thanks to BYU's early wins. So that St. Mary's win is very worthwhile, and I think we'll have St. Mary's in this field. We'll discuss it later. So I'm going with San Diego State here. But Davidson, hey, the win in Tuscaloosa, huge. So I'm not I'm certainly not anti-Davidson. If I have the next line, which I think I do, well, I will mention them for that line.
I'll tell you what, Joby, you do have the next line. We've got this line set, so I assume you want to start with Davidson.
Yeah, let's go ahead. This is where I do think Miami does land for what we've discussed. Let's see.
Hold on. Do you want to put Iowa in? We have to.
Crossouts. You got to go through crossouts. I'm going to make Griggs really happy, I think, with this one.
Oh, Murray, it's the same team. Ooh, man, higher than what I had him. I had an under the radar team here, but not them.
Okay, hold on a second. We got to hear him.
You
have one under the radar team. I'll give you two, Belmont.
Okay, you want to go both OVC teams?
This is the OVC line, baby.
Wow. Can I ask why you like those two more than Iona? I don't want to argue because it's just too good to be true. Like, you're putting under the radar teams on the 10 line.
Pull up Iona's profile. Iona's loss was sort of, first of all, they lost to Belmont.
They did, yeah.
They lost to Belmont. So that's one of the reasons.
That's fair,
Iona's certainly worthy of a discussion here, but I think the depth, you've got two wins that are interesting for Murray with Memphis and Chattanooga, which while they will not be at large worthy, I wouldn't be surprised if we see them on the 12/13 line, even with the loss last night. So
yeah. I'm convinced. I had Iona ahead of both of them. Iona lost to Belmont. Iona failed to win at St. Louis. Belmont won at St. Louis. I think Belmont is objectively better.
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, personally, I had in order three teams in my field from the bottom 10 to the 11th line: Belmont, Iona, Murray State, 1-2-3. That being said, Tytel, are we right by going to these under the radar programs now, especially with Iowa still sitting under consideration, North Carolina, who we've mentioned earlier, still not in this field, St. Mary's, who we've mentioned, still not in this field?
So I think it was last week where we had Iona as an eight. And I'm like, look, I understand the resume looks like an eight right now, but you can't tell me they're going to beat a power conference team. So my response is the same. I know the OVC teams have solid resumes. I don't see them beating the Carolina in March.
Okay. But so do we stick with Joby's line here? Leave Iona off of this line, but put Belmont and Murray here on the 10 line with Davidson and Miami.
I think so.
I was asking Tytel, actually.
Oh, sorry.
There's enough merit to it. And even though I think Carolina would beat them, I think it's fine to put them here because maybe it'll create a nice 6-11 matchup with the Tar Heels and somebody on the sixth line in the future. Who knows?
Yeah, so I think it's a good line. I think we're all kind of happy with this line, believe it or not.
Are you hinting that someone might actually meet in the tournament that are 8 miles apart, John?
Tytel, why don't I let you take the 11 line here? The next four teams, we do have four under consideration. Obviously, there's other teams you can go with too.
I want St. Mary's on this line. I want Iowa on this line. I want the Heels on this line. As far as a fourth, you could argue Iona. I would put a major conference team with bigger wins like Florida, which has beaten the Buckeyes, or I won't do Memphis because I know everybody in this show hates Memphis so much, but I would do somebody like Wake Forest, even though they lost the other night. They've got a lot of nice wins on the resume.
There's a power conference team I think we're missing.
What about Minnesota?
Yes, thank you. Yes.
If they had beaten the Spartans, I would have done them, but they didn't.
Well, let's pull up Minnesota versus, let's say, Florida, who you just mentioned here. And Griggs, I'll let you take this argument here because you and I may be on the same side on this one.
Yeah.
Here's many come up on the left here with the Michigan Mississippi State with a pair of tier one road wins, not necessarily against tournament teams, and Florida with a tier three and a tier four loss in their
profile. And I guess that's what separates it.
And
the win against Ohio State is better than any singular win that many has. But the two road wins at Mississippi State and Michigan, I think, are pretty impressive. And when you look at many's losses, you know, very close at Michigan State, right in the game against them twice, really. They don't make you hold your nose as much as Texas Southern Maryland does for Florida.
Well, Joby, what are your thoughts?
I had them both in the field, though, to be
fair. I don't like Florida. This, we go back to the overall record. This is, you know, the pings we had on Marquette last week. Florida were hitting you with those same pings, but Marquette didn't have these losses. You know, they did have the wins. They did have wins, as we all know, but they didn't have these losses. Unfortunately, Gator fans, I have you out of my field.
So would you go Minnesota or you go somewhere else?
I think Minnesota is a very reasonable bet. I wish they had the – because while I'm not going to give them a pass, because Michigan's not the same as the Michigan we know from last year. Mississippi State's numbers are overrated. I think that this Mississippi State team is going to wind up well in the bottom half of the SEC.
I'm not quite as sold,
but what are we choosing here? We're choosing, what we have to choose from. I think Minnesota makes the most sense, maybe for the lack of bad and at least a modicum of good.
Let me ask Tytel this. What about Florida over North Carolina? I'm just not that big on the Tar Heels. I don't like them on paper. I don't particularly like them on the court.
Many aren't. I'm trying to explain away the Texas Southern loss. I'm telling you, like, it's one of the most unique losses you're going to see this year. Texas Southern came in winless to Gainesville against a 6-1 Gator team. Texas Southern made two free throws. They turned the ball over 22 times, and they were up 20 points in the second half. Like, I still can't explain it months later.
Yeah, I think we stick with this. I think that we've got a good line here. Florida, one of our carryover teams. Now, it's only four at-large bids left. There may be an auto bid or two that sneaks in here. I know we've discussed Iona, for example. They would not actually take away an at-large spot. But, Griggs, you're up. Why don't we go two teams at a time now instead of four? So just give me your next two.
Okay, and I know they don't take a spot away. One is Iona that I have. And we don't have Florida in yet.
No. You want to put Florida in?
I don't. Okay. But no, okay.
You can put the other team for the state of Ohio.
Here's the team that I'm looking at instead of them. It's TCU. And I had Florida ahead of them, but the more I think about it, I'm starting to like TCU more.
Well, Joby, TCU, they came back to get that win at Kansas State last night. Gaudy record, exactly.
They have the gaudy record. They beat Kansas State, which should finish close to last, if not last, in the Big 12. But that's still a high accomplishment in that conference. I'm fine with TCU being the choice. I'd have another team in the order that we do. But I do have TCU as one of these final four, so no argument from me.
What about the team that TCU beat, that Texas A&M? I pulled them up there on the right. Also a seven-game win streak and a gaudy record.
Very close. I'm not there. That I would actually go with Central Florida here.
I don't disagree too much with that, quite honestly. But Tytel, TCU, Texas A&M, UCF, who should be in here at this point? And, since actually you'd be up next, why don't you tell me who would be there and who would be the next two teams as well?
I was leaning UCF like a week ago, but they just haven't done too much to impress me.
Just beat Memphis A&M, the other night.
A&M has that's a good point, since everybody hates Memphis anyway.
And Miami's a tier one win in waiting. Let's be very honest here. At Miami is a tier one win for all practical purposes.
A&M has a very 12 seedish profile. For Chad, since you like winning streaks, allow me to suggest a team that has now won 8 in a row after beating Nevada last night, a little team out west called Boise State.
I had them in. I had them about right here.
Okay, well let's go. Let's go here. First of all, it looks like we're going Texas A&M after TCU, and
You were I like Boise going, more than Texas A&M.
And we're going either UCF or Boise State for your pick, Tytel. Who would be your second pick on this line?
Based on the metrics, I like Boise over UCF.
Okay, you're going to go Boise. Okay, so hold off on UCF for now. We still have one more at-large bid spot left with Florida, Wake Forest, UCF all under consideration. Let me pull up these Boise State and the UCF profile. Maybe throw out a few other profiles here as well that we have.
Yeah, let's throw out at least one more.
Well, I want to throw out two.
Let's start with Boise State here. Again, where's the tournament win is my problem, and you have a tier four loss, Tytel. That's my problem. No tournament
wins. They started 3-4. They were terrible in November. I'm telling you, like, they've turned the page after cutting Arizona transfer Devin Dutrieff.
Well, Tytel, let me stick out West, though, and throw another team out here that I don't think we've discussed all season. Off of a win tonight, what about the Stanford Cardinals suddenly on a four-game winning streak with wins over USC, Wyoming, at Washington State, and no really bad losses?
Certainly,
all of a sudden is the key phase there. Wow.
It's very all of a sudden. It is as of tonight. As of tonight, the profile looks better with their win after an hour and a half COVID delay at Washington State. But Joby, where are you at with these picks?
Yeah, I mean that's. I'm still on the UCF because of the win at Miami. I think that's a really strong win, and they have the overall record. But Stanford's compelling because, yes, they won again tonight. And I haven't really factored that Washington State win in. And Washington State's nothing, no great shakes, don't get me wrong, but it's suitable. You know, it's they beat a team that will be invited to go to the CBI. All right, so good.
And one of those other Stanford wins is Wyoming as well. It's a team that we put in last week, probably worth just a half a mention here, Griggs, as well, as a team seems to be under consideration. I don't know that they merit, not necessarily a full mention, but a half a mention.
Not enough pop there. They have some chances. They've got a slate of road wins to where I actually like Stanford probably more than A&M after seeing that profile. Moving them up. A team I wanted to look at that I actually had as my last team in, but I don't think we're going to get them there, is St. Louis.
St. Louis. Okay. Let's pull up that St. Louis profile here. Big win over Iona, but Iona we just put in the line before. At Boise, which is a team that we're talking about putting in here, so I get it, but the UAB loss, the Dayton loss, the Memphis loss.
There's definitely
three teams that will be in the upper half of the NIT bracket.
I mean, we are talking about.
True, though. They aren't hideous. Those aren't. I mean, I think St. Louis is worthy of discussion, worthy of, Joe Lenardi's first four or next four out, element. I wouldn't have them in, but it's not a ridiculous statement to say St. Louis.
Let me throw yet another team out here. Their metrics are not that good, but we kind of almost forgot about them. But we always forgot about them. But the Bonnies, Tytel, I don't think it's an awful resume. They beat that Boise State team. They beat Marquette. They beat Clemson neutral. Only one loss out of the top two tiers. I get their metrics are not there with a 110 net, but I think we almost forgot about them because they hadn't played for a month.
And Virginia Tech losses. Counterfeit. That's a 2-3.
And when they lost to Connecticut, they didn't have Kyle Lofton healthy. So, I think that they have a built-in excuse for that one. No, it's certainly the only thing with them is everybody loved them. They were ranked in November, and now they've certainly fallen off. So I wish that they had been kind of under the radar, pun intended, and then shot up rather than starting so high and falling.
All right. We do need to make some type of decision here. I think that the most love I've heard so far is for Boise and UCF as our last two teams. If I can type anything.
I like Stanford.
Okay, which who would you take off for them, Boise or UCF?
UCF.
Okay.
Boise.
Right. Okay, but, Tytel, Stanford, Boise, UCF. We need two out of three. Where would you go?
I'm going to give a little West Coast bias and go with the two teams out West, please. Sorry, Joby.
So it sounds like Stanford and Boise is kind of the consensus pick here. UCF, it looks like it's our top team out, along with Florida, Wake, Wyoming, and the Bonnies not quite making it. One other question is always who would be the actually, let's finish out the 12 line. I think that one team that is very close there as well is Ohio U. They are
I was going to say that, Chad. I agree.
They're an automatic
Belmont opponent. They beat Belmont.
Is there anybody else that is fairly close at the moment that we have not yet discussed? Let me run through each of you on that question real quick here. Griggs, let me start with you. Anyone else that we've not discussed yet that was near on or near your board?
That we haven't discussed. I'm kind of holding my nose with everybody we didn't discuss. We did talk about, Wyoming, we did discuss. Yeah. Memphis, Utah State, I kind of think that they're playing a little bit better, but I don't have them there yet. Memphis is just very schizophrenic. There's some good on there, but not enough to get them in, but at least there's some good.
Here's another team that I have, Joby. VCU, another A-10 team. I don't think that's far off at the moment, on a 7-game winning streak.
Yeah, no, VCU, I thought of that too, Chad. On a lot of these A-10 teams, you know, whether it be St. Louis, whether it be VCU, whether it be the Bonnies, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody sorts themselves out and comes to the forefront to take the spot. And maybe Davidson trips up and all of a sudden, you know, it's a whole group of A-10 that are fighting basically for the champion and maybe an at-large spot. VCU is in that discussion when we get to that point in those sort of discussions. And we'll see. And who knows? If Dayton were to reel off a ridiculous run in the conference, they already have some nice wins, including over Kansas. So who knows? The A-10 will provide answers. Right now, they aren't giving them yet.
Ty, tell anyone else that even caught your attention at this point.
I'm going to throw out La Tech. I know a lot of people think UAB is going to win Conference USA, but Louisiana Tech, in their past 11 games, they're 10-1. The only loss was to LSU at a neutral site where they were leading the Tigers 18-5 early and then just completely fell apart. They haven't beaten anybody good, but they've only lost to power conference teams.
Yeah. Another team that I think is kind of starting to make a comeback, Joby, is your team. How about the Hoos? That nice win over Providence, a couple of road wins. You got a lot to make up for still with the Navy and the James Madison losses. But
Navy lost again tonight to Colgate, and that's not going to help. The problem is the ACC doesn't give those opportunities. But if Virginia goes on and finishes 14-6 in the ACC with Duke being a win or no Pitt loss, Pitt Boston College type loss, then Virginia is going to be in the thick of it, but they still need to win at one point. I'll use the J&G metrics as the example because I pay attention to it. A few games ago, Virginia was 20 spots out. They climbed all the way to within 8 spots out, but then lost at North Carolina. Not a killer loss, but those are the sort of wins Virginia needs. Virginia fell back, but then after beating Virginia Tech last night, they've now climbed in the J&G to 10th out. They're 10th out. That makes a lot of sense. If you're 10th out right now, you're out. You're behind, you can't just win one, lose one and think you're going to make it, but you have opportunities maybe with the strength, with just raw record to still make it. And so we'll see if Virginia can do that. The defense I think is still there, but the outside shooting is going to be their Achilles heel.
I'm going to go ahead and pull up the 13 through the 16 lines. We're not going to go through these teams in much depth on this show. We did discuss in our Under Radar show last night. These are, as of when we started recording this, the 13 seeds, Oakland, a team with a nice win at Cleveland State tonight, actually. Yeah, New Mexico nice State, UAB, Chattanooga, who had been up a little bit higher until they suffered a bad loss the other night at Western Carolina. Yep. Wagner with those powerful metrics out of the Northeast Conference, South Dakota State, UC Irvine Navy, Princeton, Vermont, Towson, Liberty, Weber State, Louisiana, Winthrop, Nicholls State, Southern Norfolk State.
Winthrop down in the first four. Well,
Doing that down, not much of a resume, but they just beat UNC Asheville to actually move into the first place in the Big South as of today. That's why that was a bit of a flip-flop there at the last minute. But that is our 1 through 68 seed list, our top 9 teams under consideration. With that, let's leave this up here. I went through each of you for any other final thoughts on what we did or anything else you want to discuss tonight. And Tytel, why don't I start with you?
I think it was pretty solid. I don't think I saw too many things that made me shout veto. I love some of these matchups. An 8-9 game with Texas and Oklahoma. Maybe the winner doesn't get to, or the loser doesn't get to go to the SEC or something.
It wouldn't be allowed. They're in the same
conference. Yeah, it wouldn't be allowed.
It would be fun, though.
And to have a 7-10 game, I'd love to see one of these teams, or a couple of these teams with longtime coaches with history. Huggins has 900-plus wins. You might have to face Bob McKillop, who's got a ton of wins. Jim Larranaga with a ton of wins. So I think it would be fantastic to see just the chess match between these amazing coaches.
Yeah, that would be fun. Joby.
Given our final, and the West Coast bias that Tytel does provide a nice closing talking point, though, that I've been kind of talking about. The Pac-12, you have three teams that are protected seeds, elite level type teams, depending where you have USC after the loss. And the point is, if all they did was play each other, beat each other, they would wind up as protected seeds. The trick is, unlike the ACC, which has only one such win for a Virginia, for a Louisville, for a Virginia Tech, to get to climb and jump into the fray, the Pac-12 has three such teams. Stanford is a perfect example of taking advantage of one of those multiple opportunities that exist, even though the depth of the conference really isn't that strong. Maybe a team pops out because there are three teams that give you a quality win. And Stanford, being in our field tonight is a perfect example of how out of conference matters, but also having elite from out of conference matters.
And it's also a perfect example of how we are doing this literally up to the minute here today. I don't think they would have been in had we done this show last night. Back to Tytel's point real quickly here. What we really need to do is move Texas down to the 9 line and get that Marquette-Texas game in the 8-9. Craig, you want?
Well, I would like, with that in mind, I would like to make a motion that we swipe Oklahoma and Creighton for Texas and Kentucky so we can get Texas and Marquette and Kentucky and Indiana in the 8-9 game. Who seconds it?
We're not going to do that. Okay. This is what we could do. There's been we're not going to make movements just for matchups, although it would be great. But we'll be fair to the process. We'll respect the process. Anything
Why?
Else for you, Griggs, before we finish the show out?
What's that?
Anything else?
No, that was my final
thing. Okay. I guess I'll go ahead and pull this down here. And I do want to take a chance to thank everybody for joining us. We'll be back in next week with a bunch of podcasts. But on behalf of John Tytel, Joby Fortson, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talking to you again real soon.